The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We're back, second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller, with you on this Wednesday, seventh day of February 2018. Now, before you people think, oh, John missed that one. No, I didn't. You know, just to make sure that, you know, the socialistic idea gets a dominie here from Charlie, just to stay in my good graces, throw in a little Adolf Hitler in there. Yeah, I did. It was not missed on me. I'm just in too good of a mood today. Must be due to the caffeine. Rob in Chicago. Hello, Rob.
Good evening, John.
Hi.
I appreciate the thoughtfulness of that man, Charlie, trying to give people something.
Yeah, and, and especially, you know, Mark Zuckerberg said the same thing 5 months ago. And who on this planet, Earth, gives a crap what Mark Zuckerberg thinks about anything?
Nope, not at all. Sorry, missed that. So, you know, the thought process here is, you know, and I personally, in 35 years of workforce, I've been on unemployment for 8 months, and it was a painful time during the 2008 aftermath.
Yeah.
It was painful to watch, and nobody would hire you, even though there was desperate need for mechanics like me. And I didn't want to sit around soaking up that money. So when somebody says, oh, give somebody something, what accountability is there? Now, perhaps if you would like to add into it, okay, you're going to get this $500, but each week you have to put in 5 hours or 8 hours of labor in the city parks doing whatever, any menial jobs that would help the town. You could potentially do that type of a thing. It's a reward for doing something.
It's a public work. It's basically a public's work program that has been done
exactly
before. Yeah. Yeah.
What Roosevelt did.
Yeah.
Have people building stuff.
Yep.
Now, along the lines of that, though, big challenge for a lot of people right now, which I'm witnessing myself personally, is, you know, that I've been looking for a home. Well, I've been out there looking at houses in the under $120,000 range, even $100,000. The big challenge there is some of these homes are still carrying not just $3,000-$4,000 taxes per year, $5,000-$6,000, some even up to $7,000 and $8,000 a year taxes, depending on the town or the area.
Right.
How can you, and I ask everybody I know that I come across the subject, what do you get? How much are your taxes? And they tell me, oh my God, it's like $8,000, $9,000, $10,000, whatever it is. I've got a friend paying $17,000 a year taxes on a 4-acre parcel that doesn't have anything around it that's worth anything. the point there is what are we getting for those tax dollars? Oh, that's right. We're getting people being paid to collude against the citizens of the country and they're allowed to shut the government down when they feel like it so that they can shut down quality services. They can do whatever. The people are waking up, and they understand that there is no value for what we're being bloodletted of the money over the years.
Yeah, and your friend there that owes the $17,000 a year, if he ever ran the risk that he couldn't make that property tax payment, you know damn right well what they would do.
Absolutely.
Yep, move right in on him, take that property, sell it for the taxes he owed, and that would be it.
So in 10 years, you're telling me that he will have paid more than he paid for the property, probably, the land value, back when he bought it.
Yeah.
That's beyond insanity. And, again, you know, pull the plug on the Fed. I've talked on your show about this, John. One way or another, this thing's getting fixed. And, you know, there's some good things coming. I'm not going to get into it now, but,
Rob, I have faith. Rob, what is taking place, as I pointed out earlier, with my knee-jerk must-be-an-illegal-alien lady? I sold her short by my perception, and what I found out, she was an extremely intelligent young woman of four children that knew how to work hard, and so did her husband. And they didn't expect anything for free. And her hope was the same hope that any parent has, to impart the best of you, to train them as little, you know, humans in waiting, adults in waiting, to go out into this world, to make their way, to raise their own children, and to have a happy life. And I looked her straight in her eye, and I told her, I said, unfortunately, your children are going to have a harder time than what you had. And if they happen to make it through, their children are going to have it even tougher than your kids have it. And she just looked at me in kind of a sigh of resignation. She said, yeah, you're right. I said, until we get together and do something. Well, it's starting to happen, Rob. People are finally starting to pay attention. What they used to consider to be unnecessary noise and claptrap and tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorist, and the media's reinforced that to the hilt. They have now donned their own tinfoil hat, and they're now listening. They're pulling in the waves through that aluminum foil.
You know what that is, John? It's called redemption. And we are being redeemed for everything. And I tell people, I go, everything that is happening now is what I've been screaming about for the past 4 or 5 years is wrong in this country. And there's a great article I saw on the fourth turning. And it talks about the 80-year cycles of things in our world. And the thing is about this, John, this is an awakening, but my own brother even said, we are at a civil war in this country, but I said, we are in the midst of the second American revolution, but it's a technological revolution where we're fighting it with the independent media. We're pouring out information on every single avenue that we have, and just like your commercial states that they left us the ability to have knowledge. And now, because we have the technology, my smartphone, I'm going to wear the damn thing out. Resharing, tweeting. I'm on Twitter now for one reason. So I can reshare information to pound it out there so everybody wakes up. And it's working. God bless America.
Well, Rob, the endeavors of a lot of people throughout the years, and the one that we're trying to continue here is, you know, we're the news aggregate. We tear apart the stories, report on it, give you our take on it, try to compare it to the Constitution or common law or common sense basis. And we've been doing this for a long time. And it was so important for me to continue this, because the job is not just because some people have woken up. That's the basis of a movement that will help take this country back, hopefully in a bloodless revolution, hopefully. But there's a funny thing that happens on the way to the Roman Forum. where they're merrily throwing out bread and feeding Christians to the lions. Yeah, great entertainment, great spectacle. But, you know, I've never seen a lion yet that ate a human being and said, wow, that was pretty good, I think I'll have another. They're only going to eat whatever's thrown in front of them. Now, in this country, the number one thing that has to be done, we're diagnosing the problem. We're spelling it out. We're giving you the possible solutions to fix this problem. But that's only just talk. There's not enough yet that are willing to stand up with a quiet voice, not with a bullhorn, not with yelling and screaming at the top of your lungs, not having veins popping out of your forehead, but a very quiet cacophony of voices out there that just a steady drumbeat that never quits until the restoration project is completed. And there's not going to be any guarantees at the end of that. I give you Mr. Benjamin Franklin, when asked by the woman, sir, what kind of government did you give us? A republic, madam, if you could keep it. And that's going to be continual. That's going to be continual for every generation in this country. Because power does not cede power. Because, oh, you got us and our hands are in the air. Okay, well, we gave it a good go. Bye-bye. The tyrants will always be there. It is for the informed citizenry to stay vigilant.
There's no easy road. There are no free rides, as we talked about, you know, the money or anything.
That's right.
There's hard work and rewards for hard work. And it'll take hard work to put this back together.
It's gonna take a monumental effort. If a man is used to putting in an eight-hour day of labor, he's going to have to get used to the idea of maybe putting in 16 or 20. And it's not going to be easy, as you just said. It's going to be a lot of work just to return us to we're broke, rather than we're broken and we're going to disappear never to be seen or heard from again.
We've got some ideas on that, sir.
Well,
we'll talk about that another time.
Sounds good. Rob, I appreciate your call, my friend.
Thank you, sir. Have a good night.
Thank you. Daryl in Alabama, you're up next. Hello, Daryl.
Well, good evening, John. It's a pleasure to be able to speak with you this evening. You and your callers have brought up several topics here that I found very provocative. Your one caller in particular, when he was talking about universal income, you asked him if the $500 was a good thing. His answer was very revealing, I found, and that it was his opinion, and probably that of many others, that it's acceptable to live at the expense of someone else and rationalize that as acceptable.
Well, but a needed fix due to the circumstances we all face. Rather than, as I said, putting the Band-Aid on the arterial bleed, rather than going in and really fixing the problem that caused that bleed in the first place.
Oh, yeah. I appreciate your, finding the chicken and the egg there. That's very appropriate. It's just all this incrementalism which we've reached to this point here that we're suffering, which has been the incremental plan for some time. Take your pick.
Yeah.
But the goal of the government is to make you as corrupt as they are. And they've been pretty successful at this.
I give you the police officer any town USA.
Yes, sir.
In this country anymore, Daryl, it's not what's right or wrong. It's you can do whatever you want, just don't get caught.
Well, yeah, and that's correct, because we live in a lawless place. And on the other side of the aisle, on the municipal side of this, it's they justify it by, if I can kick your butt, I can take your stuff.
That's right.
And so, so basically, what this ongoing socialist expansion has done is that it results in the peoples of this country rationalizing to be this all with being compliant, complacent, and complicit,
mm-hmm.
and they'll go along with it as long as it works for them.
Yeah.
As long as they can get their cut of the VIG, they'll go along with it. But I just want to feed that back into your last caller. He made a he made a really strong comment there, which was I apologize. I'll just move on to my next comment, which was about the police. Listen, we lost the peace officers in 1960 with the switch over to municipalities, and literally until they operate on a different software operating system of the law, back to the law of being a peace officer and not a peace officer instead of a police officer. They're fantastically different things.
They are. And the problem, Daryl, is the administrative state as well. I mean, this is just not a one single issue. One issue covers the whole thing.
Sir.
This dovetails, and
this
web has been woven. And it's an intricate, very delicate thing, but it's still there to ensnare you.
Yep. And that's being compounded now with the smart meters and the 5G. I remember what I was going to say about your last caller, and he talked about redemption, and that was a fairly profound statement, which I agree with. Having said that, redemption comes after suffering and conviction, and I dare say the suffering will have to increase measurably before they're convicted.
Well,
to move.
You know, you've heard the old saying, you know, a recession is when your neighbor loses a job, the depression is when you lose yours. And, yeah, you're essentially correct there. But here's the beauty of this. We have the stored knowledge. We have the experience. We know what's going on. And when that light bulb, as dim as it is, finally goes off in somebody else's head, they're going to be more receptive because it's now happening to them. But here's the beauty of this.
Yes,
it's not the first time they've heard this. They have just chose to ignore it, as you said, for their little subsistence, their little cut of the pie to survive another day. And to me, my friend, that's not a life worth living. Keep your hands off my itty-bitty and stop your socialistic crap. Stop your this money madness fiat system that has literally sunk the RMS Titanic.
Yes, sir. John, it's amazing to me the number of people and who have a drastically different perception of themselves as to what I perceive reality is, and I mean that by saying this. They don't realize they're socialists. They still think they're Americans. they think they're something that they're absolutely not.
Daryl, why do you think... You know, Richard Dreyfuss, the reason I brought up the Dreyfuss Initiative, because I had a flavor of what this guy thought about public schools and education and what they were doing with it. That's how he got his feet wet. And he felt that he had to do that movie. I saw him in an interview about that movie. He said, man, this was something with real meat on the bone. I really wanted to do this because, to me, it was important. Education of our children. Well, then he delved into it a little bit more and saw other problems. That our form of life in this country, the country that we have created, on the basis of freedom and liberty and keep your hands off my itty-bitty, and following the Constitution, for Richard Dreyfuss to come out and do this initiative to target, because there is a memory gap, there is a memory hole there that's not been filled with anything except a damn vacuum. And what happens to a society and a culture and a people when you eliminate the good stuff that makes things so good? This is what you get.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, Daryl, thank you for your call. I appreciate it very much. Thank you. Get your hands off my itty-bitty because I ain't got much left. Jeez. How much longer must the circus continue? Only for a short while. Keith and Glenn, you guys are coming up next. 800-313-9443. And I want to get into a little bit about this little gyration in the market that took place this past week. We'll be back.
know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
If you be my bodyguard, I can be your long-lost pal. I can call you Betty, Betty, when you call me, you can call me out. A man walks down the street, he says, why am I short of attention? Got a short little span of attention, and all my nights are so long. Where's my wife and family? What if I die here? Who'll be my role model now that my role model is gone? He ducked back down the alley with some roly-poly little bat-faced girl. All along, along, there were incidents and accidents.
You know, during the break, Mikey here. I hope you don't feel that I'm telling on you, but Mikey here drives a 1991 Subaru. What the hell is that thing? Legacy? Station wagon. Oh, let's throw that in there. How many millions of miles are on this thing? 235,000 miles. Is that the original engine? It's been rebuilt. But he's got a little problem. It keeps overheating. And he finally discovered what he's going to do is actually buy a Subaru thermostat for a 1991 2.2 liter whatever. He says, I don't know what it is about these Japanese. He said, but you got to have the right part. You got to have the right part for the thing to operate. And I looked at him and I said, I have no idea what you're talking about. I drive a Mazda and they don't break. Hang the Japanese. They taught Detroit how to build cars again, for God's sakes. Leave the Japs alone. Keith Rogers, you're up next. Hello, Keith.
Ford Ranger, good. My Ford Ranger's got 280,000 miles on the original motor. It runs just like the day I got it in 2002.
Yeah, but Keith, I'm going to tell on you. You've never taken that thing over 35 miles an hour.
Oh, boy. I'm just a 4x4.
I'm teasing. What's up?
Anyway, I want to say something here. You know, Montana's already talking about their flooding that we're going to be experiencing this year because of the heavy snowpack. And I don't know if you remember 2011, the massive floods all up through Roundup in North Dakota and stuff, which flooded actually by the government's own fault because they kept the dams at full reservoir, that when they finally started releasing all the water, it flooded down to the Missouri and did $3 billion worth of damage, which included going out into the farmlands and stuff across the Midwest as it joined the Mississippi and bringing all those pesticides and crap right down into the mouth of the Gulf there.
And, Keith, a lot of people know nothing of what you speak. And let's just give them a little clue about this, because what you just said about, you know, heavy snowpack, you know, spring melt, them not releasing the waters out of the dams, and all this moisture is everywhere. The ground is saturated. So here comes the new onrush of water into the reservoirs, and they go to release it on already saturated ground. And guess what happens?
Yeah. Well, the premise was, it was before Trump was elected, I called Trump Towers, and I talked to his beautiful secretary there, really nice to talk to and everything. But I had proposed this thing about building a pipeline down from this North Dakota area down through South Dakota and into the headwaters of the Colorado to refill the Colorado or the Boulder or Hoover Dam down in Las Vegas to generate all that power, which would eliminate the need for all these geothermal things all down through California where they're pumping into that hot lava area, you know, for, you know, their generators. But this would include tens of thousands of jobs in steel construction, and a lot of this could be done along major arterial routes of highways and stuff like that. So there's, you know, there wouldn't have to be any land acquisition in a lot of areas. And since it's water, not oil, you wouldn't have to worry about environmental things. Plus, irrigation could be used off of that. Plus, your indigenous species for fish and everything like that could all be taken care of with filters and everything like
that. Keith, you've got too much time in your hands to think about things that might actually work.
Well, yeah, well, you know, that's what I was thinking. But just think of the, you'd need a few pump stations, there'd be electrical work. I mean, tens of thousands, graders, whatever like that. This is how you'd rebuild this country.
Well, don't you know that we're in the middle of global warming, and this ice pack, that was just climate change, and that's never going to happen again.
Do you see today's news? The scientists say that I forget how many thousands of tons of mercury is going to be released as the Arctic melts.
Well, just don't tell the Eskimos up there, because you know what? They eat that high-fat diet, and my God, we might be looking at the extinction of Eskimos here.
Yeah, Carl sent me that article there, and I was thinking, well, gee, if the depleted uranium doesn't, from all these thousands of pounds of bombs, doesn't kill us, if Fukushima doesn't kill us like that, what are we worried about 30 years from now like that, you know?
By the way, is Carl the Schwartz is with you?
Well, he's not here, but yeah, he was on Twitter earlier with me.
Yeah, do me a favor. Why don't you tweet him out a message to call me?
Yeah, okay, no problem.
Yeah, please do, because, you know, he was a big supporter, and we threw our bid in for his presidential run and making the book One Way Ticket to Crawford, Texas. And, well, he was out there with his, the nanotechnology. He's out there trying to burn up the world, and he's dealing with investors and millions of dollars. Tell him we need a donation.
Yeah. I'll do that.
Okay.
Hey, I got a personal question for you though, before the time runs up here at the bottom of the hour.
Yeah.
Have you ever watched Dirty Wars?
No, I've seen it advertised, but never watched it.
You should watch that, John. You'll really understand how corporate America, as well as this rogue military that we have, the JSOC, how they go in there and they do all the extraditional killings, including Americans and everything like that. You know? But this is the problem that we're having. There is this military-industrial complex that's out of control, and they're pumping trillions of dollars into it. Anyway, break's here, so have a good evening, okay?
All right, Keith, and again, the name of, is it a series or a documentary?
It's Jeremy Shahill. It's Dirty Wars. It's on Netflix. You should watch it, though. It's about an hour long.
Dirty Wars.
Dirty Wars. It documents how U.S. military goes in.
Okay, no, I got you. I was just looking for the name. Okay, thanks, Keith.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Hi, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
Is that a short bump or is that just a fast fade? Short bump. What happens? How long is that bump? 30 seconds? Well, it's interesting bump. That's why it's in there. Just find more. And keep your personal bumps out of my show, will you? Because you come up with some doozies. At any rate, Glenn in Michigan, you're up. Hello, Glenn.
Hey, how are you doing, John?
Fair to Midland, mostly broke. How are you?
Listen, first time I've ever called into a radio show. First time ever. I'm 60 years old, and I was calling in regards to one of your previous callers that was talking about taxes. I live in Michigan. I'm about 45 miles out of Detroit. When I first moved out here, it was a rural area. I was about 30 years old. There was nothing out here. My property taxes at that time were approximately about $1,500 a month. I've been out here for 23 years. More people moved in. I'm in a township, not a city. More people moved in. More people moved in. The only services that we have here our mail, that's about it. But it's amazing. I thought my property taxes would go down as more people moved then they went up.
Oh, you mean many more hands make for lighter work for the individual that's overworked? Nah, it don't work that way.
So I went and bought the property taxes approximately three times over the last 5 years. I won them all. Every time I won, the next year, I'd get 1 year of gratuities, and then the next year after that, they'd fucking dump, they'd raise them even more, you know? Right. So I just thought I would spread that to your audience.
You're 45 miles outside of Detroit. Are you out Ypsilanti way?
I'm between Brighton and...
Okay, so you're the northwest.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. When I first came out here, there was nothing out here. Nothing.
Well, you know, the grand corporate city father-minded individuals that they think that growth is necessarily a good thing and higher taxes bring better services and all this extra stuff makes life better. That's the thinking.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but the problem is there's no accountability for the extra income that they're bringing. None. There's no accountability for all this money that they have coming in.
Well, about this time, I'd be sniffing around and nosing around in the city budgets, what people are getting paid, accounting for every penny, seeing where it's going. And if you add all that stuff up and there's some stuff missing, I would suspect somebody's lining their pockets. Because that's what happens when you start to get this this growth. And people that are in there, and they're always being slapped. Understand, Glenn, they're always being slapped on the back because this mentality that bigger is better and bigger costs more, and it's okay. Well,
you're 100% correct about that. You know, so I have, over the last 5 years, I've had explained to my neighbors how the program works. Here's where I think this whole thing's not going to happen, because even the neighbors that are getting ripped off, and you explain them to them and you tell them what's going on, they don't care. It's a sad thing. There are very few people that get what's going on out here.
Well, you know what? They need to listen to this network to find out what's going on.
And that's why I tell them to listen to the network. You get what I'm saying.
Right? Oh, I understand perfectly what you're saying.
Right. It's very difficult. I don't know how we're going to win this deal.
By way of education, those that have ears will hear. Okay? And you're not going to get every... And Glenn, the same thing I've told everybody over the years... And I hold myself as a prime example. Only I've got a pissosity level. I'll take so much, and then I get rather snarly and gnarly, and I get really pissed off. Well, people were pounding me. Well, you don't know what's going on. Here, take a look at this. Here, take a look at that. And I was not in the mood for it. I was living my life. I was, after I got myself out of my own way, I was hell-bent on being an upwardly mobile yuppie. And by God, nothing was going to get in the way of that. After I woke up and I started doing things for myself, why do I want to tackle something like that? Well, my pissosity level led me to a place that I was going to prove these people that kept haranguing me and harassing me and trying to get me to see the light. I thought, you know what? I'm going to prove all of you asshats wrong. And the more that I tried to prove them wrong, the only thing that I did was prove them right. And you're not going to get to, Glenn, listen to me, you're not going to get to everybody, but as it happened, here I am many years later running one of the great networks in this country, albeit rather small.
Saying, I just discovered your network recently, and I think you're doing a wonderful job.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
I wouldn't say it if I didn't mean it.
Well, and I appreciate that. See if you can go steal some city funds and send us a donation.
Listen, bro.
All right.
I said there, 15 years, I ran a private software company, right? And I was doing accounting software for car dealerships. And there were two primary monster businesses that were against me, right? I carved all of them. I took about 30 accounts away from them. And guess what they did? They came in there, and then when they realized that I was a threat to them, they came in there and gave their stuff away, their accounting packages, for free to get rid of me. Now, how does a guy like me compete with people like that?
You know? People like you that are innovative, hardworking, you only succeed in a fair world.
But it's not a fair world, John.
No kidding, Glenn. That's my point.
Right.
Yeah.
And I know that. And I know you know that.
Yep.
I'm just expressing what happened to me.
Well, and there's going to be a cleansing when enough people in this country finally get the idea that there are people that have been watching and doing it diligently and doing it every day. And they've been not doing it for their own self-aggrandizement or their ego or some hidden political agenda or whatever. Give it a name, give it a place, give it a date. I don't care. Once
you spend your whole life doing something, and then big people come in there and crush you.
Yeah.
How do you deal with that?
Glenn, if you'll let me finish a thought, I might get around to that.
I love one story. I apologize.
Yeah, that's okay. Don't make me do an Alex Jones on you.
Don't.
Okay, good. All right. But here's the deal, that there have been major gaps in this country about, you know, morality, about ethics, about the right way of doing things. There have been certain things that have been eliminated from our teachings and drummed out of us in schools, and this is a natural result of it. You know, I was talking to somebody earlier today about term limits. Mm-hmm. And why the founding fathers, when they drew up the Constitution and made the country and this, that, and the other, why didn't they address term limits? And I simply said to Glenn, let me finish a thought.
Okay, go ahead.
Do me a favor, just in case he forgets. Thank you. All right, I pulled your pot down. You're still here. But at any rate, I said the reason why they didn't think about term limits is because what they had seeking office and taking office in those days in the Constitutional Republic, these were statesmen. The Constitution, man, was a brand new shiny car, and you didn't want to put a scratch on that puppy, and you took good care of it. And if you're going to pass it on to the future generation, you wanted it looking just as good then, at that time, as when you had it. That was the thinking, the mentality. I said, notice that they, every once in a while, in a cyclical election of politicians, that we bring up term limits over and over and over and over and over again, but it's never instituted. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, what did he serve? 3 terms? If the old son of a bugger would have stayed healthy, they probably would have elected him 5 times. But these were the days in this country where we had people that understood the rule of law. They understood their oath of office. They understood what they were there to serve and protect. Pot them back up.
When nobody understands the rule of law.
Everybody, like I said, the rule of law now is you can get away with anything, just don't get caught.
Yes, sir.
By the way, your story reminds me of something else, seeing how you're up in that neck of the woods with Detroit. Remember the Tucker Automobile Company?
Yes, sir.
What did GM and Chrysler do to him?
Well, here's what GM did once the Obama administration came in. They went in there and they took every single dealership that did not do donations to the Democratic Party, and they closed them. Every one of them. There must have been 50 of them here, because I had probably 15 clients. For those dealerships. The ones that donated money to the Republican Party, it was every one of them that donated money to the Republican Party was closed. And then they had to go through a process that you had to go to complain about it.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. Pro. Unbelievable.
Glenn, I worked for a company up there, and I was working for a man that his father-in-law was chief designer for General Motors.
Right.
And there was no nepotism there. His father-in-law wasn't going to give him crap. He said, you're going to do it the same way I did it. You're going to work for every penny. And there was never any, hey, you know, take a look at this, or hey, I got a contract I think you can take care of. No, 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 no. He had to get in there and present and bid just like anybody else.
Glenn, let me finish
my freaking story.
I am.
No, you're not. You keep interrupting me.
I'm sorry. That's just my nature. I apologize.
Well, then, do me a favor. Mute yourself. And let me finish.
Go ahead.
Thank you. When I was working for this guy, I realized the talent that this guy had because he did a lot of prototypical stuff for the auto industry. In other words, a lot of interior design, new shapes, patterns, colors, and all this stuff. Well, I realized the guy's capability of manufacturing leather interiors. So I opened up a national program for other jobbers out there, they call them trimmers, that they could literally pick up the phone, call us, and I need this color interior for this year of car, and here's the model number, and boom, in a box, out it would go. I started up in Michigan and the surrounding areas. I had 70 dealers that were customers of that company that I went in there and set up. The reason why we were successful in doing it is because we gave a top quality job at rock bottom prices, color matches, color leather versus vinyl, so on and so forth.
Catskin
leather saw what we were doing, went in, undercut every damn thing we were doing, and put us out of business.
Exactly.
Thank you for letting me get that story.
I pulled out, same scenario. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be rude to you.
I just don't like being cut off. I'm getting too old, and I lose my train of thought too easy.
Well, you know what happens when two people are smart, they cut off each other.
Well,
anyway.
Okay. I didn't proclaim to be smart. You did. At any rate, thank you for your call, Glenn.
All right, I'll let you go.
All right. And I would caution you, I don't think the listeners heard it, but those four-letter descriptive words, Billy Bob can't say those words. At any rate, looking at what happened last Friday, now keep in mind, the outgoing head of the Federal Reserve, one Janet Yellen. You know, these are supposed to be lifetime appointments, by the way. Look how long Ben Bernanke was in there for a while, but not as long as Mr. Greenspan was. And these terms of these big muckety-mucks for the Federal Reserve, private corporation for profit, are getting shorter and shorter. Well, guess what happened last Friday and why the market went down? Donald Trump got the new guy in town. The real dark money guy for the Federal Reserve. That's why your market gyrated on Friday and continued Monday. Because here's the game that's being played. These banks have been interlending in whatever, almost nothing percent to each other. Okay? They withdrew the investment funds and the borrowing power of the public at interest, because they were more interested in shoring up themselves and collecting money and buying gold and silver and all that. The exact same thing they did from a period of 1929 to 1940 in this country, until they cooked up a war and everybody could go back to work and all the business was flowing and taxes and all that good stuff that the military-industrial complex gives us. Now, here's the rest of the story. And the question to this is the nine-year-long dead cat bounce finally ending? Ignoring or downplaying these fundamental forces has greatly increased the fragility of the status quo. The term dead cat bounce is a market lingo for a recovery. Now, after the markets decline due to fundamental reversals, markets tend to bounce back after sharp declines as participants, human and digital, by the way, who have been trained to buy the dips, once again buy the decline, and the financial media rushes to reassure everyone that nothing has actually changed. Everything is still peachy keen and wonderful. Well, I submit that the last 9 years of this market recovery is nothing but an oversized dead cat bounce that is finally ending. Now, why are the past 9 years nothing but an extended dead cat bounce? Nothing that's fundamentally broken has been fixed, and none of the dynamics that are undermining the status quo have even been addressed, let alone talked about. The past 9 years have been one long dead cat bounce of extend and pretend. That is, do more of what's failed, because to even admit the status quo is being undermined by the fundamental forces would panic those gorging and at the trough of the status quo's lopsided reward system. Now, this 9-year dead cat bounce was pure speculation, driven by cheap central bank credit and liquidity. Now, the demographics, environmental degradation, the decline of the middle class, the erosion of the paid work, the bankruptcy of public and private pension plans, the global debt bubble, soaring wealth and income inequality, the corruption of the new democracy into the pay-to-play bidding war, the destruction of price discovery, via market manipulation by those that have turned markets into signaling devices that all is well. The laughable distortion of the statistics to mask the real-world decline in our purchasing power. Inflation is near zero? Really? Inflation? You mean the term that should be called what it is? The devaluation? The perverse incentives to leverage up bets in financial instruments that have absolutely no connection to the real-world economy. None of these have been addressed in the market melt-up. Now, rather than ignoring or downplaying these fundamental forces has greatly increased the fragility of the status quo. Now, I say this because I've been watching these financial talking heads for the markets, these financial shows. I have seen them near panic. Not because they don't know what to say, not because it's not written in the teleprompter and, well, geez, you know. They're scared to death because they really know what's going on and they're trying to put the happy face and everything is calm. Everything is going to be okay. They know it's a lie. They're looking into this camera, lying through their teeth, and they have been looking extremely nervous. Because fundamentally, the fundamentals that they talk about is fundamentally crap. What happened to our break? I don't care. The skipping of breaks by the owner of the network is solely left to the discretion of the host and or the owner. You're penalized. You're not getting paid next week. Not as punishment, but because I ain't got any money to pay you. I'm ready for the rubber room. I'm now laughing at tragedy. Oh, boy. At any rate, that's what's really going on. You know, this is fascinating. Make America great again? This is just another buy some more time, kick the can down the road. Now, is Donald Trump aware of what they've done to presidents that buck the system? I'm more than sure that he does. That's why I suggested that he do his monthly half-hour address to the nation from a bunker somewhere a couple of miles below the Earth's surface with a contingent guard that they'd have to launch an all-out attack from a foreign nation on us to get rid of him. Trump, to me, is, let me put it to you this way. He's a semi-good guy. And I think he's conducting himself. Now, a lot of people are saying that Trump knows really what the hell is going on, and he's going to time these things out as necessary. Well, we're all sitting here waited with bated breath. We truly are. But I can see some things that he's doing right now that he's putting in abeyance because of the political temperature. Yeah, I know. The ruffian out there, oh, the hell with politics, are all crooks. Yeah, we know that. But if I'm going to maneuver around the crooks and not get one in the head, or one in the back. I gotta keep my head on a swivel. I gotta constantly look a few degrees up and look behind, and yeah. Timing is everything. And he himself said about, you know, well, we gotta do something about the welfare state here, and he's absolutely right. And he's been turning over a few rocks, having a few conversations as to what we do with this problem. And fundamentally, he has it, as I said earlier. And I gave Stockton as a classic example, Stockton, California, where they've got hardly any jobs. They got no tax base. So now we're going to do a socialist giveaway because we got starving people in the streets. I wish Charles would have talked about the 55, 60,000 homeless now living in the streets in Los Angeles. That somehow this might seem like a good idea to give these poor people. I mean, what the hell are you going to do with $500 a month in California any damn way? What, a trip to McDonald's and a car wash for a car you ain't got? The fundamental problem here is the system is broke. And the major offender here is this debt system that we have no politicians that have not learned this one simple term and word that your 1 or 2 year old learned first. They didn't learn how to say yes. They learned how to say no. And that's what these creatures are not willing to do, is just say no. So we're going to keep the status quo. We're going to kick the can. We're going to keep the entitlements. We're going to keep this program. We're going to keep that program. Really? You're continuing to do stuff that you're not authorized by the Constitution to do. You've sold the program to people, and now they're dependent on that program. If Trump stepped up and cut out the welfare program as it now exists, I can guarantee you, you'd be able to read your newspaper at 1 o'clock in the morning in any town USA, because it would be a light. It would be on fire. If you're going to propose something, you better have an option. You got to have an escape. Otherwise, you've done nothing but cornered somebody that's really, really pissed off. Keith Rogers actually was talking to Trump's secretaries. I wish I would have gotten Donald Trump's stuff before he became president. Maybe little conversations in the middle of the night. Hey, this is what I know. And people like myself, I'm not saying I'm a brainiac. I've just got practical application and common sense. Well, what sense is left, because everybody's robbed me of my itty-bitty. At any rate, I appreciate you all being here. We're back with you tomorrow, and keep in mind what I said. I'll let anybody talk as long as they want to. Just don't interrupt the old man too often. Thanks for being here, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354, or visit MIG911.com.
Listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.